preachers. In other words, when I like you to holler back at me while I'm preaching. Amen. Genesis 21, let's start in verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto you, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of thy bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is your seed. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the anointing that is upon your word. I thank you for your presence that we feel here so strong today. God, as we go into this time to hear your word today, I ask you, Father, that you anoint these lips of clay, that I can speak your word to your people. And Father, we'll be sure to give you all praise, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the topic seeds. Seeds. We know that when Abraham was around 80 years old, God spoke to him and said, Abraham, I want you to get up and leave everything that you've ever known. Leave your father's house, and I want you to start walking, and I will tell you when you get there. In other words, Abraham didn't even know where he was going, so he had to get up and leave everything he had ever known, all of his friends, all of his family, and begin to follow God, not even knowing what his destination would be. And that is why Abraham became known as the father of faith. Amen. Because can you imagine the faith that it took to walk away from everything you know and trust God? But we learn something from that. Anytime that we are going to follow God, many times he asked us to walk away from some things that we're used to. He asked us to step out from our comfort zone and begin to follow him with our whole heart and have the type of faith in God that says, God, I will follow you no matter what it costs me, no matter who it costs me, because my goal in life is not to be comfortable, but to be pleasing to God. Amen. Many times we seek comfort. We like things our way. I mean, even restaurants say you can have it your way, and everything is to please self, and we love comforts, and there's nothing wrong with comforts. I love my air conditioner. Amen. Whoever invented air conditioners, they have a direct ticket to heaven. Amen. So I love my air conditioner. I love comfort. I love getting in a vehicle and riding instead of having to ride a horse or having to walk. So there's nothing wrong with comfort. But in our walk with God, we cannot seek comfort over obedience. We must be obedient to God even if it makes us uncomfortable. And there's many times in our lives that God will ask us to do things that brings a level of discomfort to us. Oh, well, I'm not really comfortable with that. I don't know if I can do that, because many times God will ask us to do things that we believe are beyond ourselves, and we have to step out and do it, even though we don't know how we're going to do it, even though we don't think we can do it, but we have to believe that God would not ask us to do something that he is not going to equip us to do, and that is called walking by faith. Amen. Are y'all with me? So Abraham followed after God, and God told Abraham, he says, I'm going to promise you that your seed is going to be like the stars of the heavens. Abraham was promised seed by God. And we know the story that the angel came and told Abraham that he was going to have a child and that it was going to be by Sarah. And Sarah laughed in her tent and was like, how is this going to happen? Because Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. Some of y'all think y'all done got your kids out the house. You better not play with God. Well, I am too old to be fooling with kids. You better not mess with God. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. And they's like, oh, Sarah, you finna have a baby. Now, I don't know how many people we have in here that may be 90, but it would be kind of rough to know you're finna have a child at that age. Y'all shake your head like this. Because the older I get, kids get on my nerves. That's why Haley's fixing to get married. And she's like, y'all going to babysit for us all the time. I says, on our schedule. Good thing about when grandkids come along, it's like, you go home. Anyway, let me move on. So Abraham was promised seed by God. And so when the promise of God came that Abraham was going to have a child with Sarah, they thought that it was unbelievable. They didn't know how this was going to happen. So Sarah got the bright idea. She said, Abraham, let's help God. We are all guilty of trying to help God. We're all guilty of trying to do things that only God can do, and we want to put our spin on it. So Sarah said, okay, Abraham, let's help God. She said, I got this Egyptian servant by the name of Hagar. And she brought Hagar into Abraham and says, hey, what you think? Abraham goes, that's your servant. And she says, well, let's help God, Abraham. I'm going to give you Hagar. You go in unto her. She'll give you that seed that's promised by God. Hagar was a slave. She was bondage. And so Sarah was able to give Hagar to Abraham. He went in and she conceived a son, and his name was called Ishmael. Now I want to stop right there and pause on this. When God brought the word to Abraham, he said, you are going to have seed by Sarah. Sarah was a free woman. But she said, since it's not going to happen the way that we think that it should happen, I'm going to go ahead and give you Hagar, which was a slave. So God promised freedom, seed through freedom, but because they got ahead of God and wanted to help God, they tried to produce seed through bondage. Are y'all tracking with me? We're going somewhere with this. So Hagar was a slave and Sarah was a free woman. So Abraham connected with them both and produced seed with them both. So Abraham had seed in his life with bondage and with freedom. Y'all stay with me. Abraham produced seed with bondage and he produced seed with freedom. So here is Abraham, a man in his life that had seeds growing in his life, one of bondage and one of freedom. Let me just start preaching to you right here. Many of us have connected with things in our lives that are not of God, and we have produced seed. And now we have turned our lives over to God, and we are doing our best to live for God, but we are still struggling with some of the seeds we produced when we were in bondage. Now, I'm not talking about children. I'm talking about some habits and some addictions and some problems that came into being in your life when you were connecting with the world and you were connecting with bondage. So here we have a lot of Christians today, amen, that are trying to produce godly seed in their life, but they're still also got these seeds of bondage in their life. So you got to understand that your life is like soil. And when soil is introduced to a seed, there will always be remnants of that seed left in your soil. And just because you get saved does not mean that that soil is automatically purified. Are y'all with me? We live in the South. We plant. Now, if you plant corn one year and you harvest your corn, but you don't go back and plant next year, you'll still have some little ears of corn come up that we call volunteer ears. Why? Because the seed of that ground, the soil of that ground, has been exposed to the seed of that corn. That is why even when you get saved and you are doing your best to live for God, some of the things that you used to do will try to start coming back up in your life because the soil of your life has been exposed to those seeds and will always be there. Are y'all tracking with me? So Abraham produced seed with bondage and produced seed with freedom. Now, most all of us, well, let me go ahead and rephrase that. All of us in here today have did the very same thing. Why? Because we were all once sinners. And the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there are all of us sitting in this room today that have produced some seeds with bondage. Amen? We got anybody in here that's never sinned? Okay, so all of us have produced seeds with bondage. There's things in our life that we've done, things in our lives that we've been a part of, that at times when we are living for God, those things want to come back up in our lives. So Abraham produced seed with bondage and produced seed with freedom. Now, Abraham and Sarah messed up when they tried to help God. When Abraham took Hagar and produced seed with her, it was a mistake. He shouldn't have done that. He got ahead of God. And I'm going to show you in a little bit how that mistake is still in place today. Ooh. Abraham made a mistake. So one day they throw a feast, and this is where we pick up with our text. One day they throw a feast, and the baby, to celebrate Isaac being weaned. And Sarah looks over her shoulder, and she sees Ishmael standing over Isaac, mocking him. That's what the scripture says. In other words, he was making fun of him, bullying him, making fun of him. Let's break this down. Abraham's mistake was making fun of his promise. Abraham's mistake started making fun of his promise. There are times in your life when you are trying to do things for God that your mistakes will begin to mock your promise. And the devil loves to use that. Let's just get on down here. The devil loves to use that. You'll be trying to serve God and do your best to live for God, and all of a sudden the enemy brings up everything you ever did wrong. You can't do that for God. People don't know you like I know you. People don't know all the things that you've done. People don't know all the places that you've been. People don't know all the things that you've said. And the enemy uses your mistakes to try to mock your promise. The enemy comes in, if everybody knew, they wouldn't think you so holy. Hey, none of us are holy, except Christ makes us holy. Because the Bible says our righteousness is what? As a filthy rag. In other words, the very best that we can do is still like a filthy rag before God. Holiness comes through Jesus Christ and a relationship through Jesus Christ. Because if it was possible for you to make yourself holy, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. Amen. Holiness comes through a relationship with God. And the Bible says without holiness, no man can see God. So we have to be holy before God. So when you are trying to do work for God, the enemy's going to bring up your mistakes. And then there's always them people. I like to call them Job's friends. Job was a man that was upright before God, and he served God. And Job found himself going through the hardest trial of his life. He lost all of his money. He lost all of his possessions. He lost all of his children. I mean, the man was extremely rich. He went bankrupt. All of his kids were killed. He was robbed and stealed. And then all of a sudden his body became afflicted. And Job found himself sitting naked in a pile of ashes. And he got these sores come up on his skin. And Job made this statement. He said, though the skin worms doth devour me. In other words, Job's sores got maggots in them. So check this out. Job's sores got maggots in them. And he took broken pieces of pottery and scraped the maggots out of his skin. And he said the only relief that he got from it is when dogs would come and lick it. I can show you this is straight out the book. And that is when Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. But then Job had these three friends, Job's friends. that come along and said, Job, what you done did? Job, you done messed up. You wouldn't be going through this. Come on, you can tell us. Why is it when you start going through a rough time that Job's friends come out of the woodwork? Why is it they come out of the woodwork and want to know what you did? Oh, you must be sinning or that wouldn't have happened. Oh, you must not be, you ain't saved like you thought you were. Or that wouldn't be going on. What happened to friends that come along when you're going through and they put your arms around and said, I'm going to go through with you. You ain't got to go through by yourself. That's your friends right there. Not these ones that go out there and get on the gossip train and get on the rumor mill. Amen. We in Marion County, so come on. They get on the rumor mill. They get on the gossip train and they start running everybody in the mud just because they're going through. And I think many times we forget we went through. And I think many times we need to remember that if everybody knew our secret stuff, whoo, just because their sin is public and yours is private, I'm going to get back up here. Because we love to talk about folks. We love to talk about folks. I caught myself talking about somebody the other night. And I was talking bad about them. This lady, she looked at me and I said, I know, I got to repent. I said, I'm a gossiping preacher. Y'all look at me funny if you want to. Y'all talk about folks too. Don't sit up in here and lie in God's house. Amen, Brother Austin. Amen. So one day, Abraham's mistake started making fun of his promise. His mistake was mocking his promise. Now, this made Sarah 38 hot. Do not mess with a mama's kids if the mama's got any salt to her. Let me go ahead and stop right there. I'm talking about a mama, not a giver of life. I'm talking about a mama. There's a difference than a mother and a mama. Y'all tracking with me? Difference in a mother and a mama, just like there's a difference in a father and a daddy. Amen. There's a lot of fathers out there that ain't daddies, and there's a lot of mothers out there that ain't mamas. Sarah was a mama, and she saw somebody making fun of her kid. Mm-mm. She told Abraham, she said, you get that woman, and you get her son, and you get them out my house. And Abraham was like, but that's my son, you know. And God spoke to Abraham. Check this out. This is what's so cool. God spoke to Abraham and said, hearken unto what your wife has said. Even God knows you don't mess with a hot woman. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, you better do what your wife said. I think Sarah intimidated God. She was like, you get that woman, you get him out of my house. And God told Abraham, he said, hearken unto your wife. Men, let me help you. When your wife is hot, don't stand there and argue. don't try to make it better. And for the love of God, don't try to explain. Because it ain't going to help. You're going to dig a hole. You might as well just stand there and keep your mouth shut. Be like, Because when you don't say nothing, it's even going to get worse. Oh, you're just going to ignore me now. Be like, nope, baby, I was in my nothing box. But I'm just listening so I can change and be the man you need me to be. I'm going to help y'all. I'm going to help you, fellas. Let me move on. So Abraham listened to the Lord and to his mad wife and said, all right, Hagar, you and Ishmael's got to go. You and Ishmael's got to leave. But I want to stop right here. When Abraham tried to help God and had a son with Hagar, he named him Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. Guys, we can't do it our way. and then expect to put God's name on it and him be okay with it. Abraham thought that he could name him Ishmael. God hears, God's blessed me, God's done all this, and get out of God's will, stamp it, God, and expect God to be okay with it. We have a lot of that going on, especially in the body of Christ today, where people are doing things their way, how they want to do it, the way that they think it should be done, and then putting God's name on it and hoping God's going to be okay with it, and he's not. Because if it don't line up with the book, God's not okay with it. If no matter what we preach, no matter what we teach, no matter what we want to go along with, if it don't line up with the book, God's not okay with it. And just because you're okay with it and people's okay with it doesn't mean it's okay. Are y'all tracking with me? We have to line our lives up with what? The Word of God. Amen. That don't mean that you have to be a hermit and can't ever do anything. That means that you live upright before God. You have a moral compass. What is your moral compass? This book right here. If it says it's sin, it's sin. If it don't say it's sin, quit trying to make it a sin. Woo. Let me move on. So Abraham took Ishmael and he put him out. And God said, don't worry, Abraham. Do what your wife said, because your promise is in Isaac. You see, Abraham had already thought Ishmael was his firstborn. And in those times, it was custom that the firstborn took over the family. And God told Abraham, said, put Ishmael out because your promise lies with Isaac. In other words, Abraham, don't accept a replacement for your real promise. Some of you in here today, don't accept halfway there. If God's promised you something, you go for it. If God said you can have it, it's yours. If God said you can do it, do it. And don't settle for halfway. Well, this may be good enough. I want everything that God said I could have. I want every promise that God said I can have. And I want to do everything that God said I could do. Why? Because he's not a man that he should lie, or the father of men that he should repent. Whatever God said is going to come to pass if we just keep holding on and we don't give up and we keep holding God's hand. It will happen. Amen. Amen. So you say, well, preacher, the soul of my life has been introduced to so many different things. So we got so many people that are struggling to find out who they really are. They're struggling to find out what their purpose is, because they got so many things growing in their life that keeps them confused. You know, if you just throw out a whole bunch of seeds, you don't ever know what's going to actually grow. And so many of us have, we called it back in the day, sowing our oats. Guess what? We sowed all them wild oats, and now we're having problems really figuring out who we are, because we got all this stuff growing up in our life. We got all these emotions and all these feelings and all these anxieties and things growing up in our life, because we've never really got free from all that stuff. Because it keeps coming up. We'll try to fight it. We'll try to beat it. And then we're laying in bed at night. Let me help you. I'm going to borrow this from Bishop Jakes. We're laying in bed at night and we can't sleep and we can't rest because so much is going on through our mind and we're so uncomfortable. And Bishop Jakes said, it's because your bed is so crowded. Because you're going to bed with every mistake you ever made, every person you ever had been with, everything you've ever done wrong, all that starts rolling through your mind. No wonder can you sleep, because your bed's too crowded. Because we got all this stuff growing up in our lives and we got all these things going on in our lives. And you say, well, what do I do? How can I help this, stop this from happening? Do you know there's hope? And I'm going to show you. And this is super cool. We all love to preach about King David, and David was a man after God's own heart. David was a scoundrel, but he was a man after God's own heart because he knew how to repent. David was an adulterer, a murderer. David was a bad dude. You did not want to fight David. And one day, King Saul saw that his daughter, by the name of Michal, she loved David. And Saul said, watch this is scripture. Saul said, I am going to give Michal to David so that she can be a stumbling block to him. Saul became David's enemy. He wanted to kill David. So here is the enemy planting something in David's life to try to bring him down. Don't think that the enemy won't plant folks in your life to try to bring you down. The enemy will try to plant people in your life to bring you down. You know, when somebody pops up out of nowhere, and I'm always skeptical of folks that try to get in too close to me too quick. Hello? Let me help you a little bit. When folks want to be your best friend after 15 minutes, Some of you need to get anointed with keeping your mouth closed, because there's a lot of people that you'll meet them and 15 minutes later you're telling them your life story. They hadn't earned that yet. That's why your business is out all over the place, because they hadn't earned that level of trust, and you've met them 15 minutes ago and you're telling them all your business, and then when they turn around and betray you, you're like, oh, I thought they was my friend for 15 minutes. So Saul come to David and said, I want you to marry my daughter Michal. And David said, I don't have a bride price. Back in those days, you had to pretty much pay for your wife. We just do it a different way now. It's called credit cards. I went to work yesterday and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to make money. She said, I'm going to spend money. I was like, good deal. I'm glad my daughters are like 6 years apart, because it's going to take me 6 years to recover from this wedding. I looked at my credit card the other day and thought I was going to have to shock it. Come on, baby. Come on. One more time. Come on. So it better last. Or I'm sending y'all a bill. So David said, I don't have a bride price. And Saul was like, here's my chance to get rid of David. He said, bring me 100 Philistine foreskins. Okay, I hope the adults know what that is. I don't want to explain it in front of the kids. He said, bring me 100 Philistine foreskins. That meant David was going to have to kill 100 men, because I don't know no man that's going to stand there and be like, okay, take it. He said, bring me 100 Philistine foreskins. So David come back toting a bag and had 200 Philistine foreskins in it. That's why I said David wasn't the guy you wanted to fight. You the man. You are the man. So, y'all think that's crude. This is straight out the Bible, y'all. Come on. You got to be mature enough to know what God's word says. So David comes back, brings the 200 Philistine foreskins. He marries Michal. Then one day David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the city. And the Bible says David dances before the Lord with all of his might. Amen. In worship. David gets so enthroned in worship, he's just dancing before God. Amen. People that tell you shouldn't dance and worship in church, I'm sorry, it's biblical. So David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David danced so hard he came out of his clothes. He came out of his clothes. And the Bible says Michal was looking out the window at David, and she despised him in her heart. In other words, she despised him because of his worship. I preached a message one time called Despisers of the Anointing. We got to realize that some people don't like you because of what's on you, because your anointing aggravates their demons. Wow, that's good right there. I give myself an offering on that. Your anointing aggravates their demons. That's why some people don't like you, and you don't know why. It's because what's on the inside of you stirs up what's on the inside of them. Let me move on. So Michal despised David in her heart. And as David blessed Israel and he blessed everybody, and as David went upstairs, he was all happy. And when he opened the door, the Bible says, and David went to bless his house. But soon as David opened the door, Michal jumped on him both feet. Look at you, the king, how shamelessly the king uncovered himself in front of these handmaidens. How dare you act like that, David? You're the king. And just, that's one of them times, brothers, when you come home from work and you open the door, you just close the door back. I got to mow the grass. You just mowed it yesterday. I missed the spot. Man, y'all got some good homes. Or either y'all lying because your wife's sitting beside you like, I ain't saying nothing. David went to bless his house, and Michal jumped all over him. And then David didn't make it any better. She was like, Look at you, uncovering yourself in front of everybody. I can't believe you acting like that. And then David made it worse. David said, well, it was before the God who chose me before your daddy. It's in the book. It just says King James. He said, it was before the Lord who chose me before thy father and all of his house. South Mississippi. I was dancing before God who chose me before your daddy and all his family. And he said, so before the Lord will I play. And then David looked at her and says, and you ain't seen nothing yet. You talk like that to a woman, you better be ready to fight. This is straight out the book, y'all. So what had been planted in David's life, watch this, to be a stumbling block to him. That's what Saul said. So when Michal jumped on David and David popped off back at her, the scripture says this phrase, and we read over it time and time again, but we miss what it says. It says, and Michal bore no child until the day of her death. In other words, she lost the ability to reproduce because of that. What did I tell you a while ago? Seeds that you keep dealing with because your soil of your life has been exposed to them, they reproduce voluntarily. But when David chose the presence of God over anything else, that seed lost its ability to reproduce. So when you, that was good. When you choose to worship God and you choose God above anything else, those seeds that keep popping up in your life begin to lose their ability to reproduce. And you can finally be done with them. You can finally be done with them. Amen. I'm getting ready to close. Wesley, would you come? So Abraham put Ishmael out, this seed out. But how many of you know that sometimes we have to deal with our choices? The choices that we make, we still have to deal with them. Ishmael went out and God blessed him. Just like he said, because he was Abraham's seed, God blessed him and he became a nation. God blessed Isaac, who had a son named Jacob, who had 12 sons. Watch this. And one of Jacob's sons' name was Joseph. And Joseph's brothers hated him for no reason other than because the gift of God was on his life. Sometimes people don't like you because of the gift of God that's on your life. And one day they decided that they were going to kill him. But they decided not to kill him. They decided to sell him into slavery. How many of you know who bought Joseph from his brothers? A band of what? Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites came from Ishmael. The Ishmaelites came from Ishmael. So even several generations down the chain, that mistake pops back up and tries to take bondage over the promise. All this time later, the Ishmaelites try to take that. But even when your mistakes come back up in your life and try to take your promise bondage, watch this. What did I tell you? Even when you don't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. Joseph got sold into slavery by Ishmaelites. The mistakes of Abraham had come to try to take the promise bondage in bondage. But the Ishmaelites took Joseph straight down to Egypt. So God used the mistakes of Abraham to put Joseph on a collision course with his destiny. So God can even take those mistakes and put you on a collision course with your destiny. Whew. Abraham's mistake is still prevalent today. Because the Ishmaelites kept growing, growing, and growing. Until now, we know them as the Muslim nation. And how do the Muslims feel about the Jewish people, God's people? They hate them. They think they're infidels. They want to wipe them off the face of the earth. Why? Because that mistake, years and years and years and years ago. And I'm not talking about all Muslims. I'm talking about the radical Muslims who want to destroy everybody, but they hate them. It is so important that you be careful what seeds you allow in your life. Because when you plant, it will bring forth a harvest. And we've said it many times, you'll reap what you what? You'll reap what you sow. Be careful of the seeds. You say, well, I'm doing my best now, preacher, to sow good seeds. Praise God, we all are. But sometimes those old seeds try to come back up in our lives. You say, I don't know how to beat them. I showed you in the story of David and Michal. Choose God. Choose to follow God above anybody else. And as you do that, those seeds lose their ability to reproduce. Amen. Would you stand with me all over the house? Would you bow your heads with me? I want to tell you this morning, you can overcome these seeds that you may be struggling with. I don't have to know. Nobody else has to know. But God knows what you're struggling with. You know what you're struggling with. I want to tell you, you can overcome them. And you do that by seeking after God before anything else. No matter what it costs you, just like Abraham, no matter what it costs you, no matter what you have to go through, you have to be willing to choose God. And while every head's bowed and no one's looking around, I'm not going to hold you long, but while no one's looking around, please, I want to ask you this morning, do you got seeds in your life that you're struggling with? You got seeds in your life that, man, I'm trying my best to get past this. I'm trying my best to get over this. I want to tell you something. God can help you with that. And if you'll say, well, no one's looking around, I don't want to put anyone on the spot, well, no one's looking around, if you'll say, preacher, that's me, I got some seeds I'm really struggling with, would you just lift your hand? Amen, amen, amen. You can put them back down. Amen. I just wanted to see those hands. I'm going to be praying for you. And I want to tell you something. God's going to help you, but you have to be willing to seek Him above anything else. Amen. Would you take hold of the person's hand next to you? I want to do this like this. I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but there was hands went up all over this place. So what I want you to do is I want you to begin to pray for the person that you're holding their hand. They may have raised their hand and they may not. You don't know. But I want to tell you something. Pray for them and believe God to help them. Let's pray together. Father, you've seen every hand that was raised in this house today. And God, what they may be struggling with, what they may be dealing with, God, I don't know. I don't need to know. God, we know that you know. But God, I'm a firm believer, according to your word, God, that if we will seek after you with our whole heart, God, with everything we have in us, God, if we would seek after it, Lord God, that those seeds will lose their ability to reproduce. And God, that we can continue to fill the soils of our life with godly seeds, with things that you would have for us to do, God. To God, there's no more room in our life for those bad seeds. God, I just ask that you bless my brothers and my sisters today. God, that every plan that the enemy has against them, Lord, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. God, every assignment against their family, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you just bless them. You would let your face shine upon them. God, you would give them peace in their lives. Lord, I thank you for them, God. And I thank you for the work that you're doing in their life and that you're going to continue to do in their life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. We're going to be dismissed in just a moment, but I want to go ahead and say grace over the food. That way when we get out there, they ain't nothing going to be stopping us from eating. Amen. So please plan to stay and share a meal with us. Egg hunt. We're going to have a lot of fun this afternoon. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time we've had in your service today. God, we thank you for the lives that you touched and you ministered to and everyone that chose to be here. And God, as we transition into our fellowship time, I ask you now, God, that you bless the food that we're about to eat. Let it be nourishment unto our body. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless the remainder of our evening today, God. Go with us as we go our way. Bring us all back together at the appointed time. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. And the church said, amen.